seems to be the idea.
Hi guys, welcome back to Open Language. This is Connor.
And Tara.
And today we have a upper intermediate lesson for you about investing.
Right. So we've had a lot of requests mm-hmm. to talk about investing yeah. and the language connected to investing options.
Yeah, and how to invest.
How to invest.
Yeah. So we have a dialogue here between a Chinese and an American about, they're talking about how they can invest, different ways to invest.
Right. And in North America, what mm-hmm. do you do?
Yeah.
What are your options?
Good. So let's take a listen to the dialogue.
Perfect.
Hey, Danny, what are you up to?
Oh, I'm checking stock prices. I recently bought some stocks. Unfortunately, they're not doing so well.
It seems many Chinese play the stock market. In the US, we mostly invest through things like retirement programs instead of directly investing.
Well, I'd love it if someone who knows what they're doing could do it for me. I'm very risk averse, but at the same time, I don't want to just let my money depreciate in a savings account.
Yeah, I know what you mean. My parents' generation would invest in bonds or mutual funds, but my generation has massive debts that make it hard to invest in anything.
It's becoming similar here in China. My parents' generation was obsessed with saving for their children, whether it was cash or property.
Yeah, I heard a lot of Chinese made a killing in real estate, both in China and abroad. It's very lucrative.
That's true, but there are a lot of restrictions in real estate investment, so many people are turning to fintech.
Yep, there is a lot of peer-to-peer lending that promises high returns, but they seem too good to be true.
Yeah, a lot of them are no more than Ponzi schemes, and there's been a large crackdown on them.
So what investment options do you have left?
Well, I buy some stocks, but I also invest through WeChat Wallet and Alipay.
Oh, I didn't know you could do that. Can you buy Bitcoin in China?
Well, I know people who invest in Bitcoin, but it just gets me muddled up, so I stay away.
Okay, so we just heard a dialogue between Andrea and Danny, mm-hmm. and Danny is from China,
yeah.
and Andrea is American. Mm-hmm. So they're talking, mm-hmm. and Andrea asks Danny what he's up to,
yeah.
and what he's doing is he is checking stock prices.
Yeah. Oh, this is something that I've done, but I'm not good at it. It's too complicated.
Yeah. You have to watch them.
Yeah, you got to watch them like a hawk.
Mm-hmm.
So a stock, this is similar to a share.
Right.
It represents a piece or a portion of ownership in a company.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the difference between a stock and mm-hmm. a share, I'd say that a share mm-hmm. is more specific.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So we don't say share market.
Right.
We say stock market because it's just general.
The general.
Thing. But if you want to say I have some stocks in a like Apple or Microsoft, you'd say I have shares usually.
Right. So you could say I have stocks in Apple.
You could, yeah.
But you would say I have 100 shares.
Yeah. It's more specific.
Yeah. And Danny's stocks aren't doing so well right now.
Yeah, this is probably a similar situation for many people.
Right.
One reason I don't do the stock market.
Exactly. And Andrea says mm-hmm. it seems many Chinese play the stock market. Playing?
Oh, yeah. So this is, not like a sport. Although
it kind of is like
a game, right?
Yeah.
Because it's going up and down. It's changing all the time. It's like you're playing it like a game.
Right, like you play poker.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
There's the risk involved. So we'd use that verb here with stock market.
Mm-hmm,
You're playing the stock market means investing, selling, buying.
Yeah, it's like gambling. You're like always analyzing.
You are.
Yeah,
you are gambling.
Yeah. Right, so we generally only use this for stock market. Like you don't use it for real estate market.
No, you can say I'd invest in the real estate mm-hmm. market, but the verb we normally use mm-hmm. for real estate quick turnover is flipping.
Yeah, like if you buy a house, a cheap house.
And then fix it up.
Yeah, fix it, then sell it.
Yeah. And it usually in a short period of time.
Yeah.
So same concept, the stock market, you usually buy and sell for short periods of time.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And for real estate, it's the same, but we call it flipping instead.
Mm-hmm. So Andrea goes on to say that in the U.S., we mostly invest through things like retirement programs instead of directly investing.
Right.
Yeah, so like a RRSP.
Registered Retirement Savings Plan.
Yeah,
so, or program.
Yeah, that's a way to save your money for when you get old.
Right, and they're tax-free, so you get a tax credit at the end of the year.
Yeah, so even though it's not investing in a company, you're still investing in your future.
Right.
Yeah.
So Danny says that he'd like someone to do it for him, and this is because he's what type of investor?
Well, because he's risk averse.
Right. Yeah. So if you're averse to something, you don't like it. Mm-hmm. For example, I am averse to spiders.
Okay, I'm averse to... Oh, this is not true, but you can be averse to spicy foods.
Yes, yeah.
I'm averse to spiders as well. That's true for me.
Right.
And the opposite of that would be risk tolerant.
Right, which means you don't get as stressed out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're okay with some dangers.
Right.
Yeah. So these are some of the terms that people use in finance and stock market investing.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you will hear these, and if someone is risk averse, they don't like taking chances with their money.
Yeah, they don't like gambling too much. They want something safe.
Safe. Yeah. And also risk tolerant. Those are the ones where they're okay. Mm-hmm. And so these are the two terms that when you're investing, these are the two types of investors usually.
So Danny would want something more at a moderate risk.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So even though Danny is risk averse, he still doesn't want his money to depreciate in a savings account.
Right, so lose value.
Yeah, in a savings account, you don't really make a lot of money.
No, so it's the money you make, we call that interest.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And savings accounts they're so safe that there's low interest.
Yeah, yeah.
And if it's something or they're less safe, there's a higher interest rate usually.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And depreciate, this could be like, might stocks depreciate in value? One thing that depreciates when you
real
buy
estate.
A car. Real estate, yeah, yeah.
Well, cars too. they say don't buy a brand new car because it'll depreciate as soon as you drive it off the lot.
As soon as you buy it and drive it away, it's like...
goes down in $5,000.
Yeah. So buy a year-old car.
Right. Yeah. And with real estate, it's the same. So my condo for the past 5 years has actually been depreciating in value.
Okay.
But in this year, it actually appreciated or went up by like 20% in value.
Wow.
So
that's awesome.
It's pretty sweet. So the two terms would be depreciate is go down and appreciate is go up.
Yeah, good. That's a great term.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Andrea continues on. She kind of empathizes. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
And then she explains what her parents' generation would generally do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they would invest in bonds or mutual funds.
Okay. Now this is these are funny, like James Bond.
Yeah. No, I wish. No.
Yeah.
A bond is basically usually with the government, and it's like a certificate of money that you are lending the government your money.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So it kind of goes into a big government bank account that generates a lot of interest.
Uh-huh.
And then after a fixed term, so usually 5 years or 10 years, you are allowed to get your money back.
Yeah.
And the risk with these are kind of moderate because the government doesn't want to lose its money.
Okay. It sounds really complicated.
It is. But it's basically you're lending money to the government for a fixed period of time.
I like this word mutual. It's like both sides, both parties.
Or many people together.
They all get a benefit.
Right. So mutually benefiting something. So in this case, a mutual fund, this is what I have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of an investment where someone or many people will put money into the same fund and buy shares and stocks together.
Yeah, and a fund is like a sum or amount of money that you're saving for a purpose. Which is also is related but different than the verb. It can be a verb as well.
To fund something?
Yeah, that just means to pay for something.
Yeah.
Or support something.
To support.
So, yeah. So, Andrea is saying basically that in her parents' generation, when they were young or even still today, this was a popular form of investment.
In bonds and mutual funds.
Yeah, yeah.
But is this possible now?
Her generation, well, not as much, because she says her generation has massive debts that make it hard to invest in anything.
Right. So debt is money owed.
Mm-hmm. Money that you owe to anybody. Even if I do somebody a favor, if I help someone,
yeah,
we say, oh, thank you, I'm in your debt.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'll pay you back.
Yeah.
And it may not be in money, but it you know, it
could be a favor.
Exactly. Yeah, if you need to help move or something like that.
So like the most common types of debt, well, probably credit card debt is the worst.
It's the biggest and the worst.
And one that I'm experiencing right now is student debt.
Student loan debt. I have a lot of that myself. Mm-hmm.
So the government gave me money so I could study at university. Now I have to pay them back.
Right. Yeah. With a decent interest rate.
Yeah, it's a low interest rate.
Right.
So this is a huge problem in the USA right now. Canada's a little bit safe.
We have kind of government subsidized debt.
Very regulated.
Student loans, yeah.
But in the States, in the USA, it's the largest portion of debt.
Right.
Is student debt, because the interest rates are really high.
Right. And the whole problem with this is when you are just trying to pay your bills and you're not making that much more money or disposable income.
Yeah. Ooh, disposable income.
You can't really put any money aside for your future.
Yeah, that's a great one. Disposable income. Income that, or money that I make that I can use for something different.
For playtime.
For playtime, yeah.
Yes.
So they can't, the students, they graduate, they have to pay the money, but they can't. They're stuck.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's no hope in planning for your future.
Mm-hmm.
It's the here and the now, and you're just surviving.
Yeah. So then Danny listens to this. Andrea is talking about her parents' generation, and he says, well, yeah, it's becoming similar here in China as well. Then he explains his parents' generation. What were they obsessed with?
Saving for their children, whether it was money or cash or property.
Mm, okay, yeah, property. So that's...
So generally in this context, we're talking about real estate, essentially, like a condo, a house, some sort of physical thing that you live in.
Mm-hmm.
But property, can you use it for something else?
Yeah, you can use any like object. It can even be like a ring or a necklace.
Mm-hmm. Anything that belongs to you?
Yeah, and something real, a tangible asset, something that's real.
So you may see this if you go to a train station, for example.
Yeah.
There may be a sign saying lost property office.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So someone has lost their stuff.
Mm-hmm, yeah, and you could even say, oh, it's mine. You could say, this is my property.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, here it is talking also about the physical real estate property.
Yeah, so Danny was saying his parents' generation, with this cash or money, property investment, they were obsessed with it.
Right. Fixated.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the thing that's at the front of your mind constantly.
Yeah, whenever I see this word, I think of like a guy when a guy likes a girl.
Stalking?
Well, maybe not that far, but a guy, the only thing he can think about is this woman that he's in love with. He's obsessed with her.
Right, it takes over your mind, your thoughts.
Yeah, the only thing you can think about.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrea then says, yeah, I heard a lot of Chinese people were making a killing. They made a killing in real estate.
Yeah.
Now, made a killing in real estate?
Yeah. Well, so make a killing, obviously, this doesn't mean they murdered anybody, but it's just they made a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes usually pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. They're very successful in a very short time. Pretty lucky, but also, you know, you got to be smart to make a killing. So, like, obviously, you know, Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, he made a killing off of Facebook.
Yeah. Mm. So when you know, basically you are making a lot of money off an investment, then we could say make a killing.
Yeah. And we can use make a killing in real estate, or you can say make a killing off of something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And real estate, so this is basically the whole major category of buying and selling property and owning property.
Yeah, so it's like property, but this is more specific to land or buildings.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the person who helps you buy and sell would be a real estate agent.
Yeah, and some places they call realtor.
Realtors?
And even in America, some places they say realtor.
Yes.
It's really, really funny.
Which the extra letter. Yeah, you don't need that.
So Donald Trump, he was a real estate... Well, he was a real estate investor.
Investor,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And when you're investing in real estate, it can be really lucrative.
Yeah, I love this word lucrative. Mm-hmm. Just like high chance for profit.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So real estate is definitely lucrative when the property values go up.
Yeah.
Stock market can also be lucrative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can say a lucrative job, a lucrative career, a lucrative deal.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a lucrative business.
Yeah, for sure.
Anything, any type of project that's making money.
Yeah. So then Danny admits, yeah, that's true. But and as you guys know, there are a lot of restrictions that came in because it became a big problem.
Yeah. So with real estate, there's a lot of rules now in China. So many people are turning to fintech to make their investments.
Fintech, financial technology.
Right. Yeah. So tech companies, basically.
Yeah. Any kind of technology used for finance or financial purposes, like peer-to-peer lending.
Yeah.
Or P2P lending. Bitcoin's a big one.
Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Maybe even sometimes angel financing will come into play here.
Yeah. Any technology that helps finance.
Right.
So the proper term here is not internet finance. This is a new term. Mm-hmm. Fintech is the one you want to remember if you're interested in exploring the different ways of new ways of investing.
New technologies. Mm-hmm. And the great thing is with these, you can often invest on your mobile phone.
Yeah.
It's very, very convenient.
Yeah, for sure.
And one of those examples is P2P lending.
Mm-hmm, yeah, so it means peer-to-peer lending.
So instead of, you know, going to the bank and asking them to lend you or to borrow money from them, it's a peer-to-peer.
Yeah.
So a peer is...
Mm-hmm. Peer is like a friend or
an equal.
An equal, yeah.
So it's equal to equal.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So like someone on the same level, I don't need a middleman, some kind of bank in between.
Right. And the benefit of the peer-to-peer lending is that it promises high returns.
Mm-hmm. Oh, return means it's going to come back?
Kind of, yeah. It's the return on, we always say the return on your investment means the money you get back.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So you put like $20,000 in. If the business is successful, you're going to get more than $20,000 back.
That's my return.
That's your return.
Yeah. And it's used as a noun here.
Right.
Yeah.
But sometimes that promise of a high return can be too good to be true.
Yeah. It sounds so good. That's because it's not true.
It's
fake.
People like to exaggerate how much return other investors will get sometimes.
Yeah. And then Danny goes on, he says, they're too good to be true because a lot of them are no more than Ponzi schemes.
Right. So Ponzi schemes.
Yeah. Named after Charles Ponzi, who died in 1949.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And he did one of these schemes. He created it.
And it's basically, I would think of this as what we would call a pyramid scheme.
Yeah. Basically, the idea is that you're promising lots of success. You're promising like instant soon financial success, but it's really not that.
No. And a scheme is... used for a plan.
Yeah,
that's
big plan.
But that's kind of tricky, that maybe not so honest.
Mm-hmm. It's often used in a negative way. It's often like a bad thing, like a trick.
So if a person, like a thief, is planning something, they're a schemer they're scheming.
They're scheming, yeah. So as a result of that, there's been a large crackdown, as Danny says here. A crackdown, like strict enforcement.
Yeah, so... if there's a problem with something, the government will often create new laws for the police to enforce.
Yeah, so this could be like drug trafficking.
Drug trafficking. So if that's increasing, there's a crackdown on drug traffickers, meaning that's where the law enforcement is focusing their attention.
Focusing on that, yeah.
Yeah.
So then Andrea asks, well, what options do you have left then?
Well, and Danny says that he buys stocks. But he also invests through WeChat Wallet and Alipay.
Yeah, so I'm sure you all know Alipay from Alibaba and WeChat Wallet. Well, we have similar things. We have Google Wallet here in the U.S. We have PayPal.
PayPal is the one that I use whenever I'm shopping online.
Mm-hmm, yeah, and these are new fintech kind of ways to invest.
Yeah, and it's nice because I can actually use my bank account instead of my credit card.
Oh, yeah,
which
that's
is
right, that's
a
right.
benefit.
Yeah, and then Andrea, well, she's oh, I didn't know you could do that. Can you buy Bitcoin in China?
Right, so Bitcoin is basically online money.
Yeah, yeah. It's like an open source, it's independent, not owned by anyone. It's just like a new form of money. It's all on the internet. It's all
online. Yeah. So there's actually Bitcoin machines.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I put in my bank card or cash and I get a Bitcoin, but I just get a piece of paper that says I have a Bitcoin.
Yeah, yeah, it's so interesting.
So there's no physical money in my hands.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
all online.
So does Danny invest in Bitcoin?
Well, he says he knows people who invest in Bitcoin, but it gets him muddled up.
Yeah, muddled up, like mixed up, confused.
Yeah, so if you're muddled, it means there's too much going on in your brain.
Yeah, I can't think straight.
Exactly. So with Bitcoin, it confuses him, just like the stock market muddles me up.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think of when I think of muddled up, I think of like dirty water. Actually, it's like foggy. I can't see through it.
I think of
clear.
Mojitos, but
oh, really? Oh, that's nice.
Because they muddle things, they mix things together.
That's better.
They blend things.
I'm gonna start using that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, let's listen to the dialogue one more time.
Great.
Hey, Danny, what are you up to?
Oh. I'm checking stock prices. I recently bought some stocks. Unfortunately, they're not doing so well.
It seems many Chinese play the stock market. In the US, we mostly invest through things like retirement programs instead of directly investing.
Well, I'd love it if someone who knows what they're doing could do it for me. I'm very risk averse, but at the same time, I don't want to just let my money depreciate in a savings account.
Yeah, I know what you mean. My parents' generation would invest in bonds or mutual funds, but my generation has massive debts that make it hard to invest in anything.
It's becoming similar here in China. My parents' generation was obsessed with saving for their children, whether it was cash or property.
Yeah, I heard a lot of Chinese made a killing in real estate, both in China and abroad. It's very lucrative.
That's true, but there are a lot of restrictions in real estate investment, so many people are turning to fintech.
Yep, there is a lot of peer-to-peer lending that promises high returns, but they seem too good to be true.
Yeah, a lot of them are no more than Ponzi schemes, and there's been a large crackdown on them.
So what investment options do you have left?
Well, I buy some stocks, but I also invest through WeChat Wallet and Alipay.
Oh, I didn't know you could do that. Can you buy Bitcoin in China?
Well, I know people who invest in Bitcoin, but it just gets me muddled up, so I stay away.
So we just heard an interesting dialogue about investment options, both traditional and new, in China and in the US.
So let us know in the comments if you are an investor and if you're risk averse or risk tolerant, and what type of investing you are interested in.
Yeah, do you use Bitcoin or WeChat Wallet or Alipay?
Or are you safer like me and do mutual funds?
And we look forward to seeing your comments.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
So be honest with yourself. Don't try to fight.